Okay, let us start. First of all, I have the sheets. By the way, I always print the sheets, but sometimes the day gets away from me. So if you want the sheets, they're always in the office. So you can always go get them in that little cubby outside the office. But here are the sheets for today's Makaros, if you had in the WhatsApp. Okay, before we start the shiur, let's just set our coordinates, like where we are, because we didn't learn in order in sequence of the Dapim. We tried to learn in order of the topics, and that did a lot of splicing and connecting. But let's just take a look before we just deal with the last sugya to take us to Daf Beis and Chav Gimel. Let's look at how this unfolded. The mission of Shane is on Yud Tesamid Beis. Right? The mission of Regal is Yud Zayin Amid Beis, Yud Zayin Amid Aleph. It starts the second parak. And from the Yud Zayin to Yud Tes is Tzveros. Regel launched a discussion of Tzveros. Remember Tzveros before Hanukkah. Now we have the Mishnah on Yud Tes Amud Beis. Chaf Amud Aleph. There's a couple of interesting conversations in Yud Tes Amud Beis, but we didn't focus on them exclusively. They came up in other contexts. On Chaf Amud Aleph, you have a quick machlokas between Ilfa, Rav Oshia, and Rava. Al Gav Chavrata, Kofetzes. Are they the same? In terms of Shein Bershus HaRabim, that seemed to us to reflect the offset between the formal Ptur as opposed to the Rif. That's what seemed to be evolving from that sugya. That was our only sugya. We never would have thought of any additional ideas. There's no new ideas as necessary to make sense of Ilfa and Rav Oshia. Are you trying to zone the area? Maybe the zoning is a little bit more creative and different than classic zoning. Are you studying the anatomy of the animals eating? Is it deviant? Is it not deviant? The Ramban's version. That was a pocket on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. Now I'm continuing sequentially. Chaf Amud Aleph in the middle is a sugya we're dealing with today, called Mishnah Uvach Uvashina. We'll see where it comes in the Mishnah. At which point on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, on the bottom, Gemara says, okay, when you don't pay Shein, namely Rishus HaRabim, what do you pay? And that launched the entire sugya of Mashanenes and Zenehen and Mizel Lachaser, and Chiyuvei Hanah and Me'ila, and that's the sugya you learned with Iftani Bednar. So that's from about Chaf Amud Aleph till approximately Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, the middle. It's about a one-blot segment. On Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, pays the look in the Gemara, just so you're following, on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, the Gemara continues, more or less returning to that same Ilfer of Oshia. Remember, I distinguished between vertical as opposed to horizontal. Deviances that are horizontal, those are Rav and Shmuel. Deviances that are vertical, that's Ilfer and Rav Oshia. The animal reaches high, or Kofetzes, it's Ilfer and Rav Oshia. On Daf Chaf Aleph and Aleph is when the animal moves horizontally, to the Tzid HaRachava, to the Mechazeres, and the focus Rav and Shmuel. That we can also, and the Ramban felt the two sugyos are more or less overlapping. We don't really need new ideas. The truth is, I skipped the sugya, I'm sorry, I should have talked about this. Going back to Daf Chaf, I apologize, turn please back to Daf Chaf. After Ilf and Rav Oshia, there was a sugya of Misgalgal. That's on Chaf and Aleph. That sugya started to open our minds. Either Rashi's version of the sugya or Tosfos' version of the sugya, each of them started to make us think in new ways. What was Rashi's version of the sugya? There's Lakicha from Rishus HaYachid and Achila in Rishus HaRabim. So that opened our minds, along with the Pipara sugya, as to what role Lakicha would play in the Chi of Hashem. After all, the Chi of Hashem is the animal eating. Why should I care about Lakicha? So one idea is maybe we decentralize the Maisa Hezek, something we saw on the Raivid, on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, it's all about Hana and Hefset, or we feel Lakicha is an invasion, or we feel, as we'll ultimately said in the Vein HaTam on Friday, that when Lakicha is from Rishus HaYachid, you know why you're Chayef? Because the Paris from Rishus HaYachid, and anytime Paris from Rishus HaYachid, you're Chayef, period, because the Nizek wasn't Pashav. Lakicha isn't Mechayef. Lakicha just reminds us that we're not dealing with the Pshias and Nizek. And of course, you're Chayef, because it's not Rishus HaRabim or other places. So already in Rashi on Daf Chaf and Aleph, when Rashi suggested, according to the Gemara, that Lakicha from Rishus HaYachid alone would be Mechayef you, even though the Echidah took place in Rishus HaRabim, we already started to think about new versions of the Shein Chiyuv and the Ptur Rishus HaRabim. Tosfos' scenario on Daf Chaf and Aleph was even more provocative. Because according to Tosfos' Nam, everything took place in Rishus HaRabim, but the food was rolling to Rishus HaRabim. Who cares? Who cares that the food is rolling to Rishus HaRabim? The animal went in, ate it, and took it in Rishus HaYachid. What do I care the food's rolling? So we talked a little bit about whether the fruit that's rolling out of Rishus HaRabim
And Rosh Hashanah still is considered part of Rosh Hashanah. Who cares if it's part of Rosh Hashanah? The animal ate it in Rosh Hashanah. What do I care about whether it's part of Rosh Hashanah or not? So he talked about if we want to try to view eating food in Rosh Hashanah as an attack on the Rosh Hashanah, then it has to be something which is part of Rosh Hashanah. Something which is temporary, just moving through Rosh Hashanah, eating that may not constitute an attack on the Rosh Hashanah. And that's what the Gemara's question could be. So again, I apologize. On the Chaf and Aleph, we have Ilfa and Rav Hoshi and Rava. We also have Misgalgel, Rashi and Tosfos' version. We have Kala Mishanah, which is what we're going to talk about today. Then the Gemara launches into the Hana conversation, Mashanenes, at which point in Chaf Aleph, the Gemara resumes with Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel's first version is pretty tame, namely Mechazeres, or movement at Tzid HaRachava, again, according to the Ramban, paralleling the Rif versus non-Rif approaches. Do we care where the animal is, or do we care whether the achila is orche, which would be pater, or deviant, which would be chay? What got very interesting on Chafala from an aleph was the Igad Amri. The Rav and Shmuel don't argue about mechazeres. They argue about mekatzim makom. Now, without getting into the details of mekatzim makom, this version, especially if you hold like Tosfos, where the person was not mafgir his rishus, he just put his peros close to the shus harabim and invited people to walk through his rishus, that situation may pater the mazik. Why? As the Gemara says in Chafal from the Beis, this became a really important line, because the mazik can tell the nizik, it's your fault. Lav kol keminach, top line, second line, Chafal from the Beis, de mekaravta lehu leperosecha, lusha sarabim, umechayebes lehu leturai. Even though formally, officially, it's Rishus HaYachid, it's still the fault of the nizik. Namely, Rishus doesn't matter, Rosh Hashanah doesn't matter. The Nizik was Poshea, even Rosh Hashanah it will be Chayiv. Remember, with the opposite case in Rosh Hashanah, when the Nizik was not Poshea, we talked about that on Daf Yudalit. Okay, this leads us to the Mishnah Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, which in Meretz Hashem we're going to discuss starting tomorrow. Chaf Aleph Amud Beis has the two cases of the dogs. The first case is pretty tame, a dog or a goat that jumps off of a wall. That launches us into the Sugya Tchilasa B'Pshia V'Sof V'Bionis. The next case is the complicated case of the bread and the fire, and that leads us into Eish, and then ultimately. Now, we talked about one other sugya, just to keep our bearings in the second parak. The other sugya, the second parak, is the sugya we talked about on Friday, Pi Parak HaChatzar Mazik. What does Pi Parak HaChatzar Mazik mean? We saw basically the approach of Tosfos, basically the approach of the Ravid to understanding why Pi Parak should be HaChatzar Mazik. I wanted to do a full Chazara today. I decided we need to move forward. Meretz Hashem, I'll do a full chazar. At some point, I'll take a day, we'll just chazar shein, or a couple hours of chazar shein. Just feel like we have to move forward and get some fresh information, because there's fresh learning under our belts. We also went back for 2 or 3 days, and we studied the sugya on daf Yudalit Amud Aleph. So let's just turn back to Yudalit Amud Aleph and remind ourselves, in a general sense, what we saw. The sugya of Yudalit Amud Aleph is based on the end of the Mishnah of Tesem Adeis. The Mishnah has a cryptic line, Rishus Hamazik Benizik, and it wasn't clear, A, whether Chatzar Shufim should be Chayiv or Pater. And even if you say Chatzar Shufim is Pater, which sounds like the end of the Gemara, what role do Peros rites play in determining Chayiv as opposed to Shavarim rites? That helped us understand these new ways to define shame. Okay, so this is a short summary of the last 2 weeks of learning. Because we're not going in order, I still want you to be able to, in your mind, picture where things come. There's a sugya on Yudalit. The main sugya starts on Chaf. On Daf Chaf, there are two conversations, Ilfa and Rav Hoshea and Rav Zeris Misgalgel. Then the Gemara gets to Kala Mishana. We'll see how it gets to it. Then it takes a one daf break for Mashanenes and Hana. Then it goes back to Rav and Shmuel. Then it has Mekatz and Makom. Then more or less, we're at the Dorgi Mishnah. There's also a Gemara Pipara that plays off of the Kelev Shenatel Charara part of the Mishnah. And that Pipara also helped us understand. That's more or less a couple lines here or there. We saw the Gemara in Daf Nun Ches, if you remember, on Friday. The animal falls into Rosh HaSeachid. And we saw Rish Lakish saying that the animal will be put there for Hashem by everything in Rosh HaSeachid on Daf Nun Ches. And we saw that on Friday. If we just take a quick look at Nun Ches, we saw the Rosh statement there of, Rav Kahana and Rav Yochanan Seyman Afilu Me'aruga Le'aruga Afilu Kol Yom Kulo. Once the animal falls in bone, they can't be mechayev. That's also there are a couple other strands. We saw the case in Daf Mem Chesem and Aleph, where it's a Rishus Hayachid, but the Rishus Acher, but the person has a right to put his peros there. So it's a Rishus Hayachid with Pshia, or a Rishus Hayachid without Pshia. So just to get a sense of, if you were writing a Shulchan Aruch, this is how the Beis Yosef This is how Rishonim saw Shas. They didn't see Shas based on pages. They didn't have pages. Our Shas is they had some sense. Obviously, it's not Hadarah, but they didn't see Yudalat Tesvav. They saw Shas's topics. When the Shulchan Aruch sat and wrote that, he said, these are all the topics of Shein. I want to put into Simon Shin Tzadik Aleph. And he went through all these Gemaras. So some Gemaras are very easy to put together the jigsaw puzzle, like Tzoros. There are very few sugars at Tzoros that aren't located between Daf Yud Zayin and Daf Yud Tes. Here or there, there's a statement. But some sugars are a little more scattered. It's not terribly scattered. Some are scattered all over Shas, right? DNA, Yisr, Vahetar. There is no concentrated section. There are a couple Blat and Chulin, but they're all over the place. In Psachim, in Avodah Zarah. So you have to be able to see Shas topically. And when you briskerize Shas, when you categorize Shas, it's much easier to see it that way. Because you're not just responding to particular problems that come up in a text. You're trying to build basic models of logic. So I just want to try to show you, just to extrapolate, if you were to spend your whole life learning this way, you'd be able to see Torah in this fashion. Now, Olam Haba is that statement without the if. Because in Olam Haba, there is no other thing to do. So, Chachamim Yoshvim, Bat Yoseim, Ber Hashem, Benenim, Yisiv Hashina, at some level, you're seeing Hashem's will in ways that I can't describe to you because I've never been there, but it's certainly not learning Bava Kama, Daf Yud Daled, and just trying to solve only the details. It's trying to take all these details and build models of Hashem's Ratzon. Okay? So the fact that we put 2 weeks in for Tzoros, or 3 weeks and 2 weeks in, I know it seems like it's laborious, it's easier just to have a smorgasbord every day, a new shir, and every day, new chakiras, but I don't think you're moving the needle in your ability to understand the godless Satara. Here you're saying the godless Satara, this is the way people who really know Torah, this is the way they see it. These are the lenses through which they see Torah. Okay. Now let's focus on our little particular sugya, okay? Our little particular sugya is called Kol HaMishnah, and it emerges from the Mishnah on Daf Yud Tes in the base. So let's start with the Mishnah, see where it emerges, see the base halacha, we'll develop an ideal, a paradigm, we'll take that paradigm as far as it takes us, and then we'll see what's the breaking point at which the paradigm fails. We got to change the story, we need a new getter. That's where we learn sugyas, right? Inside out, you know, just, I don't spoon feed you from above, we try to recreate the process so that you can do it on your own. Okay, so the Mishnah on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis is a Shein Mishnah, and Shein in Rishus HaRabim is Pater. So if an animal were to eat fruits in Rishus HaRabim, we know it's Pater, and now we know why. You can give five reasons that it's Pater in Rishus HaRabim. It's not Steyacher, it's Urchei, it's not a home invasion, it's Pshias HaNizek. There are plenty, plenty of reasons that you're Pater for Shein in Rishus HaRabim. Now the Gemara says, but what happens if it's not Shein? What do you mean it's not Shein? What if the animal eats clothing? Eating clothing isn't Shein. Animals don't like eating clothing. We call eating clothing, for the purposes of our shir today, Karen. Maybe Shein with a Shinai, but let's fix all the other variables as I get all confused. Rambam Shita, Ach Laksus V'Kelim, the Mishnah says, second wide line on Daf Yutas in the base. Ach Laksus V'Kelim, it's not Shein. Since it's not Shein, ironically, it'd be Chayef. If it's Peros, it's Shein. Shein is totally part of Neshes Rabimil, aside from Ashenenes. It just so happens it's Karen, because you're eating clothing. If it's Karen, then you'd be chayev chatzi nesek. Then the Mishnah has an interesting dangling modifier. Bamed devar mamurim b'shus ha-nesek, b'shus ha-rabim pater. Right, if you eat regular, let's start the Mishnah, ketzed ha-shein mu'edes l'achos ha-roila, ha-behem mu'edes l'achos peres v'rakos. The animal eats peres v'rakos, it's shein. If it eats k'sus v'kelem, it's karen. Peres v'rakos and b'shus ha-nesek is chayev nesek sholem, shein. K'sus v'kelem and b'shus ha-nesek, we don't hold like a retire front, it's going to be chatzi nesek. Then the Gemara has a modifier, by the way, all these things I just told you, peres v'rakos is shein. Because for Kalem is Karen, that's selling a Shus HaNizek, not a Shus HaRabim. Wait a second. Karen or Shus HaRabim is Pater? Shein or Shus HaRabim is Pater? Why does the Mishnah say that these two Chayivim, Peres Yerako Shein, because for Kalem Karen, is only Chayivim Shus HaNizek? So the Gemara asks that, Daf Chaf Meralf, Ahaye. That dangling modifier, what does it modify? Amar Rav, so Rav says, Akulam. The Ptur in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is going to be not just Peres or Yerokos because it's Shein, and Shein is completely Pater in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's also going to exonerate you for Ksus V'Kelim, which is Karen. Ma'itayma, he quotes the concept. Kol HaMishana, Ubach V'Shina Ba'Pater. Stop. We're not going to see Shmuel, because Shmuel is an application. We're not going to broaden the conversation. We're going to hunt down the source of this halacha. We'll develop it, and then we'll come back to Shmuel's question. But Rav's version of the Mishnah, that not only is Peres for Yerokos Pater in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Shein, that we know. You pay Mashanetis, but not Mashanetika. But Ksus V'Kelim, which is Karen, is Pater Neshe Sarabim. That's based on Kol HaMishnah Ba, Chav HaShina Ba. V'chein Amar Reish Lakish, we're skipping Shmuel, right? We just want to get the concept down. We'll go back to those who argue, nibble away at the concept. And we know, of course, Rish Lakish here was the major author of the Shita. Rish Lakish, Shtei Paras Bershus Harabim, two cows, Achas Revutza Veachas Malachas. If the Malachas is Bata Berevutza, Pater. If the Malachas is Bata Berevutza, if the walking animal kicks the prone animal, then the walking animal is Pater. Again, that seems to be a case of Karen. Karen is Pater because of this principle the Gemara articulates. Okay, it articulates the language here, but it's based on a Gemara later. Kol ha-mishana u'bacha v'shina ba-bater. If the nizik, in our terminology, right? The Gemara uses mnemonics, so it sounds like a good mnemonic. Kol ha-mishana v'chashina. In our scientific Gemara told you, the biggest mistake you make when you read Hebrew is translate word for word. Those are very awkward and clumsy translations. Read what the pasuk says, read what the phrase says, read what the Gemara says, understand the logic, and then say it in your own language. Right, I told you, just to remind you how clumsy it is, straight translations. That story I had with the boy who was having problems with Kavan and Kriyashma. So let's go through Kriyashma together, word by word. He said, Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel. I said, stop, you're not Irish. You don't say, O Israel. Because whoever wrote hear, or Shema. Just don't translate. When I see people translating word for word, it's a different syntax, it's a different vocabulary. So Kol Mishana Bach Mishina means what? Can you extrapolate it? What is Kol Mishana Bach Mishina by in our terminology? What? What word is missing from this phrase? What's the phrase really saying? What? Now you're giving a svara, but just tell me the description. When the nizik makes the first shin or the mazik spater. Right? Those are the words missing from Kol Mishana. If you were to ask me, you sold, I would say Kol Mishana Bach. It's very, very abstract. Too many pronouns. Too many dangling kol. Who's Pater who's Chai? If you ask me to explain the case, is when the Nizik made the first deviance, the Masik's Pater. Using a word, obviously, doesn't commit to anything. You're already using a word that commits, but because it doesn't say Pshi, it says Shin. So I'm trying to be as literal as possible without committing to any logic. So when the Nizik creates a deviance, the Masik is Pater. Right? Without the Gemara said it in a way that helps us remember. Kol Mishana Bach or Vashin. But really, what it means is deviance of the Nizik exonerates the Masik. Okay? So that one, and we have so far two applications. We have the classic application, Rish Lakish. An animal decides to lie down in the middle of Fifth Avenue. So the mazik will be pater if the mazik animal comes and kicks him. And we have Rav's application. If the nizik places his ksus v'kelim in an accessible area and the animal eats it, you deviate the nizik, you exonerate the mazik from Karen, from animal eating ksus v'kelim in Rish Lakish. Okay. Now, Avikam, we get to our description. Okay, now we have these two cases. We have two cases enough to sink our teeth into. We'll see other cases later. What's the nature of this Torah? Why should the deviance of the Nizik exonerate the Mazik? So, Avi, you already said something. I just didn't want to commit to it yet. But what's the simple shot? Why should the deviance of the Nizik exonerate the Mazik? Because the Nizik is a Poshea, and continue. And anytime the Nizik is Poshea, it's his fault. And say it even more sharply, and Mazik isn't called a Poshea. Poshea is not an objective reality. Poshea is always relative. Who is the most negligent person? Who is the person that exhibited the most negligence? I could just as easily say, obviously it's not true. I could just as easily say that they're both Poshea. But evidently, this concept, if we take this concept, assigns that there's only one Poshea in every altercation, and we assign the title of Poshea to the person who is most negligent. Negligence is a sliding scale. Henry negligence is relative. The Nizik was more Poshea. After all, the Mazik said, look, you also Poshea. You could have watched your animal. Say, okay, I'm Poshea, but you're even worse than me. So you're even worse than me, so I'm all right. I don't want to sail any one particular community of the Jewish people, but relative from Kai. Instead of trying to improve your own world, always looking at the person next to you, at the other world, saying how bad they are, you know, get to Shemayim. Now, Hashem's not going to ask you about anyone but yourself. The light is blinding. You can't say you're better than Shimon. You can't say you're better than that community. How was your life? Did you lead life the right way? Did you not lead life the right way? So we could have just said that it's objective. The answer is no. Whoever was the worst pusher. Okay, this seems to be our working formula. Yes, you saw that.
You can take Pshia two ways. You can say that there's two Pshios and one is greater than the other, or you could say that there's because this is the original Pshia, the second one's not even considered a Pshia.
So we'll see. So far, I'm saying the tamer way, because as far as I see, if you were to show the story to any person without Lamdasha antenna, you'd say they're both Pshia, but there's a stronger Pshia. You're trying to give me a chiddush. I need something to convince me about a chiddush. Right? I'm trying to teach you a chiddush has to come from somewhere, or else you have no gauge or no litmus whether it's true or not. It has to, functionality is your yardstick. Oh, it solves this problem is inherent to the system because the system creates a problem which anchors that svar. So I'm trying to get you at you everyone out of that. You can say let's move slowly. Okay. Now, if this were true, that it exonerates the mazik by eliminating his pshia, which of Hamazik would you not expect it to apply to? Well, give me a description, then give me an identity. If the whole secret of Kol HaMashana, and I'm just using the phrase, is that I undercut the Mazik's pshia, what type of Nezek would it not exonerate? A Nezek that isn't based on
pshia.
What Nezek may not be based on pshia?
Karen.
Well, we'll talk about that, but
Adam
Mamazik. We'll get to Karen later, because we know it applies to Karen. If the whole secret of Kol HaMashana is the intense deviance of the Nizek, you see why I'm using the word deviance, because that's what the Gemara is, when becomes an exonerator of the Mazik's Pshia, that's the Lumdus now, so it would not apply where we can pin the Chiyav on a Mazik, not because he was Poshea, because he was Adam Mamazik. And in fact, there is one sugya that makes it sound like maybe we don't apply the exonerating principle of Kol HaMashana of Vachav Rishina to Adam HaMazik. Which sugya am I referring to?
Lamed Bet.
Nope. That seems to apply it. Which sugya does not seem to apply it? Chav Zayin Hamed Beis. So let's see Chav Zayin Hamed Beis. We'll see why we don't apply it. If we, all we have idea is Chav Zayin Hamed Beis, Shir ends very, very early. I like when Shir ends early. I get to go drink some coffee, but I keep saying that because you need to know Yisrael David where the breaking point is. Oh, but this sugya keeps us in this room and forces us to build another category. That's the breaking point of every sugya. Yeah, the Mishnah Daf Chazayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, "Hameniach Hasakad B'Shus HaRabim." Harry Spivak fills the Shus HaRabim with his kadim. Uvach Rav Niskel B'Vishavra. And I come and I break it. Pater, I'm Pater. What do you mean? It's Adam HaMazik. So the Gemara says, Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Let's see Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Am I Pater? Why is the breaker me, Pater? Chav Zayin Amud Beis, top of the page. Ibai Lele Yerim Ezel. Without digging too deep into that question, we're just going to interpret the question. The breaker of the Kadim is Adam HaMazik. And we know Adam Morli Alam, Ben Mezid, Ben Shogi, Ben Onis, Ben Ratzon. So what? Did Ari Spivak fill the street with barrels? I'm an Adam HaMazik, and I should be chayat to pay back for the barrels I broke. That's the Gemara's question. And the Gemara's all the answers, which we looked at very, very briefly when we discussed Adam HaMazik. I don't know if we're going to get back to Adam HaMazik this year. We still have a lot to cover, Eish and Muad. Then we'll take some time to turn Muad into our third mega sugya after Tzaras and Shane, which means we'll look up some of the Muad sugyas in the fourth parak. So, not sure if we're going to get to Adam HaMazik, but we saw this general machlokas, which I'll reference today, between the Ramban and Tosfos. I'll get to that in a few minutes. Tosfos says, why is the Gemara searching for answers to exonerate, to acquit the breaker? It's very easy to acquit the breaker for breaking Ari's Kalim because of what principle? Kol HaMashana V'Vachav Rishina B'Pat. Putting barrels in Rishus HaRabim Mizashina. Ari is the Mashana. Kol HaMashana, why do we have to look for our Okimtas in the Gemara? Just say that. So there are two answers in the sugya, and the second answer splits into two. What does Rabbeinu Tam say? Who said Rabbeinu Tam? What's the easiest way? This is not a case of Kol HaMashana, correct? The principle doesn't apply. This is all Talmudic circuitry. The more sugyas you see, the more you see how the Talmud flows, the logic, the more you can recreate in your own head. Who says this is a case of Kol HaMashana? Don't even think about it. All right, don't even think about it. This isn't Kol HaMashana. It's irregular and deviant to put your clothing. It's irregular and deviant for an animal to slow traffic by lying down. It isn't irregular or deviant to put a couple of barrels. Everyone plays their barrels. It's like someone was saying the other day. It's like putting tables outside a cafe. It's not deviant. Everyone expects it. It's normal. There's no deviation. You're perfectly rishus. Let's see the Rabbeinu Tam. Inami yesh lomar. Look at the Rabbeinu Tam on the sheets that I gave you. Inami yesh lomar. Tibakan. Lo shina. Who puts these small clothing in the Shisa Rabim? Abulacha, these big tables, these big barriers, these big whatever, these big bubbles like the restaurants in New York, not a Shinai. So basically, don't bother, move on to the next second. Is a Shinai to put Shisa Rabim? Is a Shinai for walking animals who just take a nap in the Shisa Rabim? It's not a Shinai to put these big, big chavios, because everyone's carrying chavios. Remember, that's how they transfer, they didn't have plumbing. Then have ways to transfer liquids in their bottles, so chavios are perfectly natural. So in that case, it's not shaykh. Who disagrees with Rabbi Tam? Who says the principle conceptually is relevant, but in this context, we can't apply it? Not that there's no shina, there is a shina, but it wouldn't acquit this person. Who says that? Tosfos. And Rabbi Parents breaks Tosfos into two. So now let's see Tosfos. Very good. Tosfos daf chaf zayin amud beis. Tosfos says dibra maskalamai. Line number 5. V'lo shayich kan kol ha-mishan uvach ha-mishina ba-pater digabe adam lo amar hachi. Digabe adam tasas chavzayin rebeiz dibur maschel amai digabe adam lo amar hachi. 5 words. Digabe adam, the principle doesn't apply. So now we start scratching our heads. What are the two ways to understand tasas digabe adam lo amar hachi? What did you see in Rebbeinu Peretz? Can you break them? Can you break this one concept? Avi, you don't even give me the lumdus. Just tell me two ways to read Tosfos, and then we'll talk about the lumdus. One is technical, one is lumdus. What are the two ways to read it? Anyone see Rabbeinu Peretz? Okay, I'll start you. I'm going to try to go as abstract as possible, then become more specific. One way is to say that in the category of Adam Amazik, you can think about it. Fundamentally, there is no dissonance between Adam Amazik and the Ptur of Kol Mishana. It just so happens that by an Adam, the mechanics of the Ptur don't work. None of the logic is completely, completely incompatible with Adam Amazik. There's nothing brisker about it. It's just when I start to apply Kol Mishana, Adam, the logic fails me. Or I say, you know what, it's like oil and water. For you to take the concept of Kol Mishana and apply it to Adam Amazik, you're insulting me. Don't even mention it. Don't even start talking. Don't even think about it. No. So what's the first answer of Rabbeinu Peretz? Who can trace what I just said to the first answer of Rabbeinu Peretz? Why does it not apply to Adam? Not categorically. There's a disparity or discrepancy between the category of Kol Mishana, or whatever, the halacha of Kol Mishana, and the halacha of Adam Amazik, as I hinted to before. But what?
Adam has
das. Adam has das. Very good. And therefore, when I'm calculating Yisrael David, the uber pshia, who's the super pshia? So normally, when the mazik is a non-conscious animal as he is by eating clothing, or non-conscious animal as he is by the kicking animal, the field goal kicker of the animal kicking the revutza. So I say, you know who the most poshea is? The uber poshea is the deviant one, the nizik, not this poor animal who just, you know, didn't plan on deviances because he walks down that road every day. But when the mazik is an adam, so I don't care what the nizik's deviance is, the adam should adjust, right? The person in the back is always chayef. In a car accident, I was looking at the news the other day. Nothing worse than a chain collision. You know, it's horrible, horrifying. Like a 35 car chain collision. You know, obviously it's no one's fault, but you should have seen. You should have been careful. So it's not as if Ishai, the whole concept of Kol Mishana is totally foreign to Adam Amazik as a category. It just means that by Adam Amazik, when we're starting to calculate whether the Mazik is a Poshea, normally deviances of the Nizik undercut his Pshia. But in the case of the Mazik, of Adam, we still expect him to adapt and to adjust to changing patterns in Shisha Rabin, whatever it is. Has ever been a parrot? Have you ever been a parrot? This is a very, very solid sugi. There's not much here. There are a couple cases. We'll talk about the cases. If you're looking for a nice, succinct, a methodologically impactful sugi, this is great. Almost all the methodologies of learning a sugi in this Gemara. Okay, and it's not hard. It's not like all the other sugyas where mapping it is half the problem. Okay, so this is a great sugi. Just to try to trace the methodology. So let's open the Rabbeinu Peretz. Methodology of Rabbeinu Peretz is, okay, Gibor Maschel Iboyla, he asked the question. V'yesh Lomar, Dehani Mili Shu Poter, Shu Mashana Rokav Vehema, Yishem Deles Leidas, Avladam Des Leidas, Avo Bishach Hachina, and Bo Vashina, Chayit. So there's no categorical inability to apply. It just means that the calculus doesn't work out to exonerate, because there's das that makes the other maposheah despite the nizik deviances. Then the Rabbeinu Peretz says, version 2, this is our lamdas,
V'od yesh lomar delo shayach lemifter mehaitam adam amazik mishum desheni harishon yemutel abdav yadayim lo shayach mehaitam. It's hard to know what Tosfos meant. Tosfos has one line. Again, what's Tosfos' line? Lo shayach kan kol mishana degabi adam lo omer hachi. Tosfos is cryptic. Degabi adam yesh bodas, or degabi adam. Now, Avikom, fill in the svar. Can anyone fill in the svar? What's the second version of Tosos or the second territory of Bena Peretz? Since da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, it categorically doesn't apply to Adam Amazik, which is da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Fill in the lines. Since the whole, don't give me the lumbus here. Since the whole
idea of Kolam Shana.
Whole Ptur, don't say idea, it's just sharp. The whole Ptur, go ahead. Shina is.
Is based on
Shia. Is not based on Sharpen. Is. Give me a word. Base is too vague. Is the whole Torah because it undercuts, neutralizes, offsets the Shia, right? Give me the powerful word. Since the whole Torah of Kol HaMishana is because it undercuts the Shia. So Mazik, continue.
The fact that Adam doesn't have that factor of Shia makes it totally irrelevant.
Okay, still too vague. Since Adam HaMazik's Chiyuv isn't based on, we don't care. It is still fine. Okay, it's fine. You have the idea. I'm trying to give you sharp, sharp, sharp words. Okay, in lambdas and in life. Remember my English literature teacher. Powerful words, Michael. Powerful words. Okay, I have this allergic reaction when I hear weak words. Do and can and thing and these are general words. They don't capture essences. They're just too general to be specific. And especially in lumbus, you need sharp, prime-type words. Okay. So when you write, when you think, use the sharp. You got it, but I'm trying to make it clear to you. Since Kol HaMishana creates a Ptur by undercutting, neutralizing, whatever Yisrael David, the Pshia of the Mazik, that's already too much resolution for me right now. But it undercuts the Pshia. If I happen to meet Adir, a Mazik, whose Chiv isn't based on Pshia, it just wouldn't apply. So what, Henry, that the Adam is in a Poshia? Adam a Mazik is not Chayiv based on Pshia. Adam a Mazik is Chayiv for the Maisa Nesek. Again, just to remind everyone, we're not going to dig back into the Machlokas. This is a Machlokas between Tosos and Daf Chavzayin, the next Tosos, not our Tosos. We don't know if it's the same Tosos, and the Rambam. Tosos believed that Adam HaMazik's Chiyuv is based on an enhanced Pshia. He's always Pshia, even when he's a Shogeg. Whereas an Ones Gadol, according to Tosfos, would be Pater, because there's absolutely no Pshia. Whereas the Ramban, in Bava Metzia, thought that the Chiyuv of Adam HaMazik is Maisa Nezek, and therefore Adam would be Chayvim by Ones Gadol, and Rabban has to explain the couple cases we saw that you brought. So far, if this is the only Gemara Adir we have, we're fine. We have no problems. You saw David, we have no problems. We don't say anything. We could say something. I'm not banning it, but responsible alumnus, we don't say anything unless we have to respond to something. Responsible means you're responding to something. So at this point, we're pretty fine. We have two Gemaras, another Gemara about the dog. Maybe we'll talk about the dog a little bit later. I'll quote it. We don't need the dog right now. I start riling up a dog and the dog bites me. That's also Kol HaMishana. Great, we have another case. Just like the dog, just like the animal that kicks the prone animal is pater, because the prone animal was the deviant. Just like, according to Rav, an animal eats ksus v'kelim, carrot, the animal's pater, because the ksus v'kelim depositor was the deviant. If I start riling up a dog, I'm really deviant, I'm really crazy. Of course, I'm the poshea, and the owner of the dog is pater. Doesn't move the needle right now. And we have a case where Kol HaMishana isn't mentioned. Great! It makes sense. It works. It supports my logic. What if I were to find a case, Adir, where the Gemara does apply Kol HaMishana to Adam HaMazik? What is that case? Lamed Beis. Okay, just to see how to move the logic. Okay, let's read Lamed Beis together. The Gemara does apply Kol HaMishana to this case. And the question before we get to the Gemara is, if we hold Ramban-like, that the Machayev of Adam HaMazik is based on the Maisa Nezek, and we hold like Avikon, that the Ptur of Kol HaMishana Yishai undercuts the Pshia, how can we apply a Pshia neutralizer to Adam HaMazik, whose Chiyuv isn't based on Pshia? That's going to be our problem with Daf Lamed Beis, and that may force us, and the Berech HaShmuel, and Tosfos, to say a Svara. Once we have the Svara model B, we then start to globalize. Well, what else can we try to solve with the Svara? This is a really, really nice, easy-ish sugya, because it's not hard to map, it's three or four sugyas, but the methodology is so sound, the brisker movement is so obvious, how do you get from point to point? Okay, what's happening on Daf Lamed Beis? Same issue. Listen carefully, because we like same things. When we see things that aren't same, we start putting on our Briscoe analysis. We have traffic disruption, not based on an animal lying down and breaking the rhythm of traffic, but based on person carrying in front, stopping suddenly. Okay, so these are two similar as opposed to some other case of Kala Mashana. Everyone look at me. Can you think of a case of Kala Mashana we've seen so far that isn't traffic disruption? Can you think of a case that's even further away from traffic disruption? So start with the core and work out to the perimeter. So the core of Kala Mashana is an animal lying down. That was Rish Lakish's case. And a similar case, we disrupt traffic considerably. The barrels is also a traffic disruptor on Daf Chazayim, which is what made it such an obvious case. And since the Gemara didn't quote it, we have to know why it didn't quote it. And here we have traffic disruption because the person in front stops suddenly. Okay, it's a famous, confusing Mishnah on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Let's see Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. We're not going to discuss all the cases because there are many, many cases here. We'll just discuss the Seifa. What's happening in the Seifa? The Seifa of the Mishnah is where the Chavis is first. So on Lamed Beis and Aleph, actually, just I'm going to P-A-R-E. I'm going to pare down the Mishnah for you because that's right now the core case, which is also a skill. They'll say, this is really what interests me right now. I want to focus on this and then work out. And they have to read the end first. So it's the end here that's important. The end says, Haya Bala Chavis. Let's just read the end of the Mishnah, Lamed Beis. The barrel guy is first. Ubala Kara Achram. So conceivably, right, like in traffic, the back one's going to be chayv because he should have seen and adjust if he, based on the rhythm and the cadence of the movement. Ubala kar achron, nishbara chavis bekara, line number 3, chayv, the balakar is chayv because he should have paced himself properly, he didn't. But here's our key line number 4 in the Mishnah, the amad bal hachavis, front bal hachavis guy, stop suddenly, pater. Sudden stop, so the front guy makes the back guy putter. In this case, the front guy's the chav, his back guy is the car. Okay? If you just say, put it into your mind a few times, just in case you need it on the board, I'll put it on the board for you to make it visual. Again, you've seen this Gemara before, so it's easy for me to access point. You have an animal lying down in Rishus HaRabim, he's lying down, I'm going to make an animal lying down in 2D. And then another animal comes, right, we'll just use the vertical, and stomp and walks on the lying down animal. So this is the Revutza, this is the Mahalechas, and this is the Revutza who creates the Shinoi, the Nizik creates the Shinoi, Patas the Mahalechas. The second case is a Mishnah Lamed Beis, where you have Baal Nekadot, the people, you have the Chavis guy in front, you have the Kara guy in back, Chavis guy stops suddenly, that's his Shinoi, and therefore he Patas the Kara from the Chia, the Kara breaks the Chavis, right? Break Chavis, Chavis don't break Chavis. Okay. So that's the scenario. So the Gemara says, towards the bottom of Daf Lamed Beis before the Mishnah, Ela Seifa Dimas Nisa Misayale L'Rish Lakish. The end of our Mishnah sounds like a parallel to Rish Lakish. Dekatana Heibala Chavis Rishon Abala Kara Achron, our Mishnah, Seifa Nishpa Chavis Bukara Chayiv. Of course, normal case, the back car is Chayiv. Im Amad Bala Chavis Pater, V'acha Demachalachis V'Revutza, Kara. Hitting Chavis, stop suddenly, it's like Malachas kicking the Revutza, the Katani Pater. And then the Gemara scales it back a little, but not fundamentally. We can apply it here, but not to the same degree. And we'll see that scaling back in Mirtz Hashem a little bit later. All of a sudden, we have Kala Mashana applying to another Mamazik. Me breaking your Chavis with my Kara, that's another Mamazik. How could it exist? This is Tosus's question. That Tosfos begins to wrestle with. Tosfos Dibra Mascha V'Hachatema. My Saka Daita Chashna. V'Chisover Hu Shim Shavav Miskan Shipat Kmo Bata Malachas B'Revutza. Can you really compare the cases? Malachas is B'Kavana. Here it's Adam. There's no way to Pater Adam B'Kavana. Adam Morli Olam. This is Tosfos' question. Now, if we hold the Machayev of Adam Amazik as a Pshia, like Tosfos will say in Chavzai, said in Chavzai and Merbeis. Then the fact that the Gemara applies it to Adam isn't a big chiddush. In fact, the fact that the Gemara doesn't apply to Adam on Daf Chavzai is a chiddush, and we have to say, like the Rabbeinu Tam, that there's no shinui there. Or, like the first answer in the Bein Parrot, that there the person should have seen the barrels, whereas here that he's walking with the car, it's harder to see.
But we have no problem with the concept of applying Kalam Mishnah to Adar Mazik, because Adar Mazik is based on Pshia, and Kalam Mishnah is a Pshia neutralizer. But if the Mechayev of Adar Mazik is a Maisa Nezek, a person is Chayev not for his level of Pshia, even by Onis Gadol, a person is Chayev for the Maisa. How could we apply Kalam Mishnah to Pater Adam Hamazik? That's the question that surfaces from Daf Lamed Beis in the Aleph. So there are two possible answers. One answer, before we get to new paradigm, is maybe even, this is something we've said before, even though Adam HaMazik is chayev for a Maisa Nezek, that's only classic Adam HaMazik. When it's a substandard Adam HaMazik, there he defaults to the other track of Pshia, and there we expect certain exceptions. And we want to remember, we had three cases, who remembers two of the three cases? Remember two of the three cases we had where Adam HaMazik is not really classic, super Adam HaMazik, you're not chayiv for the Maisa, you're chayiv only for the Pshia.
A wife
that's called a Mazik Bershus, which is not doing a Maisa Nezek, she's cleaning the house, she's only chayiv for Pshia, and therefore, according to the Rambam, she'd be Patron Ones, even though the Mazik is chayiv on Ones. Where else did we see? Does it go to the Ishami? Very good. About? Person sleeping and damages in the sleep, so that's not real a Maisa Nezek, it's only Chayef Pshia, if you saw the person before you went to sleep. Remember the third case of the Machne Ephraim? Anyone? What?
What
person
who gave
Eidos? Right. Person who gave Eidos, and he was forced to do it, there was Kfiya. So we already have the model in our heads, where not every Adam HaMazik is grade A Adam HaMazik, where to get him. The concept exists. If you're a real Adam HaMazik, with your body, when you're awake, and you're not a woman cleaning the house, and you're not for... So in that case, you're an Adam HaMazik, and you're Chayef HaMaisa Nezek. But there are substandards. Maybe this Gemara on Daf Lamed Beis is a substandard Adam HaMazik, whose only Chayef is based on Shia, which can then be neutralized by the deviance of the Nezek. What makes the case of Adam HaMazik on Lamed Beis a non-classic Adam HaMazik? Okay, so he's not sleeping, and he's not doing it Bereshus. But what makes him possibly Adam HaMazik minus?
Couldn't have controlled the Nezek?
Right, there's no Kavana, it's part of his walking. It's a Nezek Memela. Now, I'm not saying it's so obvious. Yehuda, sleeping is obvious. Cleaning the house is obvious because you have permission to do it. So it eliminates the Maisa Nezek part of the Chiyav, and the only Chiyav for those Adams is Pshia that can be possibly exonerated. But here, he's walking, it's Bimimela. Is that the reason? Do we have our fourth category of substandard Adam HaMazik, which can be offset by the deviance of the Nezek that eliminates his Pshia? If we don't say that, then we have our Chiddush. Then we have to come to something new. This is the moment of the Shia. If we've solved all of our problems, we don't have anything new to say. But right now, the Gemara applies Kalam Mishnah to Adam HaMazik. If we feel that Adam HaMazik is a Chiyav in the Maisa, how could Kalam Mishnah pater Adam HaMazik? So evidently, Avi Kohn, Kala Mishano Bach Rashin is not a Ptur in the Pshia. Can anyone give me the other word? It should be obvious to you. It's not a Ptur in the Pshia, it's the Hafka of the
Nice.
Who says that? Maybe Tosos, but who says it? And that's the big Chiddush of the day. Once we have the Chiddush, we know why we need the Chiddush. Oh, now this could be the Machlokas between. That's the second part of the Shia. That's how you make your way through a sugi. You develop a new category because it comes from the Gemara. To solve this problem, I need to say something new. Once I have something new, now I have my table, then I go and this could be a good way to explain this machlokas, that machlokas, with these three different dualities, three different machlokas, and that could be explained by this. And let's just move forward as I, and then we'll go back and try to analyze it. This is the approach of the Birchas Shmuel, which may be the approach of Tosas. Tosas has a critical word. You're free to find the critical word in Tosas upon which this Chakira rests. Is Avi right or is the Birchas Shmuel right? I didn't mean to say it that way, Avi, but as Avi writes the Bircha Shmuel, right? But let's first read the Bircha Shmuel, then we'll see what tells us to say. Okay, so the Bircha Shmuel is in Siman Tes Zayin. Okay. Without getting, he creates an analogy which is fascinating called Shneim Brishus, Shneim Shelo Brishus. We'll hold off on that right now because that's just too much of a rabbit hole for us to dig. Vihine, Ikar Sivaras Din, Kol HaMishane, Ubachor Vishina Depater, Hatamu, Avikon, Eno Vishim Ptor Shmir. Don't tell me the Mazik is Pater from Shmir because the Nizik was deviant and he's not considered a Poshea. Ella, Dapturhu Bidin Mazik. Definition of Mazik. She'ein lo din mazik hecha dehaya harishon mishana. Now we're not home yet. We're going to maybe talk about breaking this Bircha Shmuel to two different ways, but I'll just give a generic statement right now. When the nizik is deviant, and that deviance causes the nizik, causality is authorship. For now. Causality is authorship. Who orchestrated this? The prone animal, the person who put the ksus v'kelim into the street, the chavis guy who stopped suddenly, right? If let's say we had a chas v'shalom, a chain collision, and the police would write, what caused it? Well, obviously the elements caused it, whatever. But the first car that skidded out of control and caused the stoppage in traffic caused everyone else. Now again, you could blame the back, whatever. In insurance, the person in the back has to pay because you have to see what's happening in front of you and leave enough space. But ultimately, who caused it? I was driving normal. You made a mistake. You skidded, whatever. So you caused it. So causality, we determine authorship of Maisa Nezek based on causality. Said in more general terms, normally it's easy to determine authorship because there's one sole actor in this interaction. There's an aggressor and a victim. If I hit Henry Chas v'Shalom, I'm the aggressor, you're the victim, I'm the person who authored the action. But what happens when there's a chain reaction where my action was triggered as a mousetrap by your deviance? So we consider authorship based on, now we'll have to maybe sharpen that, but wait for cases that help us sharpen that, but this is like a general signpost. So the Maisa Nezek isn't performed by the kicking animal, it's performed by the prone animal. The Maisa Nezek isn't performed by the, in this case of Adam, by the Kara holder, it's actually performed by the Chavis from stopping suddenly because he caused it. Oh, I didn't do anything, Kara guy. Of course you're Potter, because you're not even a Maisa Nezek. Let's just see a little. He says, Zichemo b'shneim b'shus. Okay, he gets into shneim b'shus. I don't want to get too deep into that analogy. Let's skip to the next part. That's why I gave you two different parts. Okay? Avol. Din d'chala mashana v'achor v'shin. I'm skipping, like, in my Bircha Shmuel, a couple lines. Give you the second part. Ela d'chal d'din d'chala mashana v'achor v'shin abo d'pater d'ein lo din masik. Lo mishum d'eda chashuv v'mashana v'aviki urche. That it's just regular, no pshia, avikon of the masik. The Vadai Chashuva Mishana Hamalechas Gebitasa. The kicker is considered a Peshia. Yikomakom Engla Din Masik. I gave the Haravutza Garma. I wonder where he got that word from. The Haravutza Garma Limahalechas Shetivot. Well, where did he get that word from? Tassus. Now let's see Tassus, and he quotes Tassus. Because Tassus is also, in his way, wondering about how we can apply to other Masik. So Yesh Lomar, now back into Tosfos Daf Lamed Beis, Achronim are just elaborating what Rishonim said. Sagadaitach, Tichayechid Masisim Pachina Balakol Afish Balachav is Garim Lo Ba'amidaso, She'en Lo Balakar Lizar Shemiyamot, Hachinami Avikon, Paravutza Garmala Lemahalechas Shedevorba. The Bircha Shmuel believes that this word Garma moves away from Avikon and closer to his Pshat and Reb Chaim. If the pshat were like Avikom, who would use the word garma? Just say, Haravutza Shinaba, Haravutza Pashaba, Haravutza, why are you escalating the words? Why are you turning a simple statement that Avikom read so simply, Kol Mishana V'achor V'shina, and I've got a nice explanation, why using a more powerful word of garma? Garma, to the Bircha Shmuel, sounds like some degree of authorship, removing the Maisa Nezek from the actual person who performed it, because it was caused by something that you couldn't control. So he looks at the word garma again. So that's why he quotes Tosfos here. The Alkein Tosfos Tosfos Da Gemara. Now back in Bircha Shmuel, the Damek of Adam Shlo B'Kavana Shaydei De Balachav Is Garm La Shishava Alkein Ein La Balakara Shame Mazik Avu Bishagam Balakara Chashid Mishana Mikom Makom. He's still a poshei avi. We don't care. It's not enough to exonerate a man. Mikom Makom Mechivin De Balachav Is Garm La B'Nasso Alkein Englo Alkochach Lebalakar Lizar Shemiyam Alchavis Veinu Chashiv Mazik Alashvira B'Shalom Miskapin. He's not considered a Shem Mazik. The way I explained the elimination of Shem Mazik so far is that's not your action because it was caused by something else. Maybe other ways to explain it, but you're not considered a Mazik. Somehow we remove the Shem Mazik from the Adam, we remove the Maisa from the Adam. Okay. Now we have our Chakir. What is the Ptur of Kala Mishnah? Is the Ptur of Kala Mishnah Choser Pshia on the part of the Mazik or Hafgas Shame, Mazik, Maisa, Nezek, from the door. Now, if Gamina number one would be, does it apply to Adam? Chavzai makes it sound like no, although we don't know, is it a technical no, or is it just not Kol HaMishana? Was Lamed Beis makes it sound like yes, but that yes has an asterisk next, because it only may be yes by Memela, which may be a Pshia. So, if we want to say it doesn't apply to Adam HaMazik, we said, look, it doesn't apply to Adam HaMazik on Daf Chaf Zayin, where the guy is taking batting practice with the Aris Bivak. It won't apply. But to the guy on Daf Lamed Beis, he's like, not really doing a Nezek, it's only a Chiyuv of Pshi, it's a substandard Adam, there it would apply. So we can legitimately ask the question, does it apply to Adam HaMazik? Ah, the Gemara says Lamed Beis, no, that's just like substandard Adam HaMazik, if we feel that's a substandard. So we have a question, right, there, Rabbeinu Peretz from Daf Chaf Zayin says, it doesn't apply to Adam HaMazik. How would Rabbeinu Peretz explain Lamed Beis? He may have to say Lamed Beis is like a substandard Adam HaMazik. If you feel categorically, there is no ability to stretch Kol HaMishana to Adam HaMazik. Now we want to think about 2, 3, and 4. Are there other machloks in other conversations? Oh, it only applies to this, but not to that. It only applies to this, but not to that. Namely, scope. Are there other questions as to the scope of this halacha? Not just does it apply to Adam, which was like the big reveal. Are there other questions? Is it, look at my hands, is it like this? Or is it even like this? Where else do we have this tension happening about the scope? We always like to feel that the scope determines or reflects what the essence is. So it makes the sugya so easy. And so like it's, you can telegraph the steps, you have to fill in the blanks. Okay, so what's the biggie? Start with the biggie. What's the biggie, the big machlokas of scope? See if you can get it. See if you can grab this chaotic swirl of ideas out, but that's like, this is the juicy issue. This is the real issue. Machlokas between? Let me see if I give you a hint. Rava and Reish Lakish. Can anyone take that? Machlokas between the Havamin of the Gemara Lamed Beis and the Maskana. The Dichoy, same machlokas. What? Yeah, that's where the machlokas Rav and Reish Lakish appears. What is the machlokas?
If there's an animal on one side of the road, do you have to go over it, or do you have to go around?
Not exactly. You're already making a commitment that I don't want to make, but you're getting close. Describe, don't commit. Yes? That's the case that leads into the distinction. So you're giving me the address, but you're not giving me the people in the house. Adam?
Right.
Stepping or kicking? Okay, say it. Is Kala Mishana, lying down animal, exonerate animals who step on it or even animals who kick it? Who said even kicking? Who said only stepping?
Rava.
What's another case of stepping, Ishai?
Shasa.
What's another case of kicking where it's a machlokas Rava and Reish Lakish? Kor and Chavis, according to the Gemara's conclusion. Just because you pater Kol HaMishana, the Gemara says, doesn't mean you necessarily pater the Korah, because the Korah is like kicking. I'm not sure I want to commit to Reish Lakish's extreme tour of kicking. Okay? That's the juicy heart of the Machlokas. That's the core. It's harder to draw the lundus from it, the
using Adam to draw the Lamdas is easier, as Tosfos did, as the Birkas Shmuel did. So when you're trying to think of the Lamdas, you start by Adam. But in terms of the core juicy machloksin in the sugya, what were the machloksin that took place in the Beis Medrash? They talked a lot about this question. So let's go back to Chavdal and Rebbezi Yishai, where this question is presented black and white, frontally. Chavdal and Rebbezi, the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Im Timtza Lomer HaMashasek Kalbo Shechaver B'Chaver O'Chayif. If, and we're going to skip this Gemara a little bit, maybe we'll reference it at some point, I doubt it, but if when I sick, Hillel's dog on Oren, then I'm Chayif, the sicker is Chayif, why should the sicker be Chayif? That's a whole different conversation. But let's say I sick Hillel's dog on Oren, Im Timtza Lomer HaMashasek Kalbo Shechaver B'Chaver O'Chayif. She said, "Who ba'atzmo? If I'm trying to rile up Hillel's dog to go bite Oren, and the dog bites me, boomerang, pater. Hillel will be pater at my time. Kala mishana uba'achav eshina ba'pater. My riling up Hillel's dog, who then bites me, my problem. I was the original deviant. I being the nizik here, he's the mazik. Just like a lying down animal is the deviant one and exonerates the other animal, the riler is the deviant one and exonerates the owner of the dog." Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Nothing new to see here. It's a little bit different because the deviance here isn't stopping traffic. The deviance here is creating hostility and aggression. But whatever. Let's assume the two are pretty similar. Okay? What's the difference if we look about causality? When's the machine stopping traffic? And by stopping traffic, you're creating the impact. Causing violence, you're creating the motivation for the impact. But it's at this point, let's assume it's the same. I could have drawn a distinction, but for now, let's assume it's the same. You know who else thought it's the same? Rav Papa. When Rav Papa, Rav's Talmud heard him say this, Rav Papa said, "Oh, Rebbe, you probably hold like the famous statement of Rish Lakish, that prone animals exonerate walking by animals who kick them." That's what he said. I'm Rav Papa. It Rav Shmei to Rish Lakish, Kavasech, we all know, you like Rish Lakish, we heard the name Rish Lakish. I'm Rish Lakish, Shtei Parash Shesarapim, Achas Revutza, Achas Malachas, Bata Malachas Revutza. If the Malachas kicks the Revutza Petura, of course the reverse case we're not going to discuss. Rav says, no. Rav Papa, I'm not as radical as Rish Lakish. He's radical. When they're walking by animal, kicks the prone animal, I'm chayit. I mean, alay, kiss lecha reshusa l'skuyeh, alay, levuta be less lech reshusa. I'm willing to apply Rish Lakish's p'tor, but only by drisa. In my case, if she said, well, Kelev is like drisa, where the animal bit based on me riling him. But if a prone animal gets kicked by a walking by animal? No, I'm not going to say that. That's Rish Lakish. I'm not that extreme. Namely, we have a machlokas between Rav and Rish Lakish about the scope of the p'tor. Rish Lakish expanded it radically. Prone animals, pater, not just walking by stepping, but even walking by kicking, malachas bita. Rav said, no, I'm not on that page. I'm willing to pater walking by malachas bedrisa, but not walking by bibita. It just happens, my case is the more tame case, where I rile up Hillel's dog, that's like Malachas, that's Dores, because the animal didn't do anything yet. You know, like all of a sudden get upset and then go buy a gun and shoot me. You know, I get upset and bit me, it's like Teresa. That same scaling down, ramping down, appears on Lamed Beis. On Lamed Beis, the Gemara has the Chavis front runner stopping suddenly, causing the car to damage. It was, oh, that's Rish Lakish. Let's read the Gemara again now. I didn't read the end of the Gemara. Okay, the Gemara says, "A sefer de masnisa masayle the Rish Lakish." Gemara then pulls back the last 10 words of the Gemara before the Mishnah. The last word in the line is masnisan. Masnisan, the Mishnah is one thing. You can pot there because it's passive. Dichi urche kamaske. Just walking with your kara, traffic stops suddenly, and it's like stepping on an animal that fell on the road and didn't get up. Walking into the guy's chavis, you stop suddenly. Hacha, but in Rish Lakish's case, I'm not sure that our Mishnah would buy into Rish Lakish. It's not a right for Rish Lakish's extremism, because Rish Lakish is really extreme. Hacha, but in Rish Lakish's case, if the animal kicked, you know what the prone animal's owner is going to say? I'm Erlein, he did Sachalish of the Skuyalai. Walking by animal, you can walk on me. Levita be less Lakish's. Namely, the same pullback of Rava on Daf Chaf Dalet is a pullback of the Gemara. When we try to equate the Mishnah to Rish Lakish, the Mishnah is a more moderate version, Rav is a more moderate version, Rish Lakish is a more extreme version. Okay? So we have two instances in which the Gemara distinguishes between Rish Lakish's extremism and a more moderate version of Kol HaMishana. Namely, we have two models of Kol HaMishana. Extreme version, that covers everything, including kicking, and a more limited version that only covers walking, but not kicking. Okay, guys, tell me what's happening here. Okay, let's start with Reish Lakish, because intuitively we feel like Rava. So which of these models would cover every case? Which of these models would say, you know what, not only is Drisa Pater, but Be'itas Pater. Okay, think carefully. Don't just let your mind, don't be lazy. Oh, this is more powerful, therefore it's more. Think into the heart of the logic. Which logic would cover everything? Which logic would say, you know, right, Yossi. Which logic would I say, which logic would be at the Hanukkah party? I'm not so sure. Which logic would be, now's a good time to go, not a Hanukkah party, but here's a good time. Which logic would make you say, you know what, I'm not so sure. Azaria.
So the second one fits better with Reish Lakish because essentially, essentially the second action doesn't really matter. It matters that the first action was the action that caused this whole situation to emerge. So the fact that he kicked them was immaterial to the larger picture in which he caused the.
Sorry, I think you're reversing tracks. Yeah, no, I think in the end you said opposite.
Once the nizak was kushe, it doesn't matter what the mazik was.
Right. I think you said in the end. Let's follow Yosef's logic. If the entire axis is pshia, okay, and the deviance of the nizik makes him the super poshea, and the only thing we question, right, we're not talking about adam mazik, let's just stick to animals. We don't have that complicating factor of adam mazik. So the nizik is the uber poshea by letting his animal lay mishas harabim. Nothing that happens afterwards is going to be pshia samazik, and therefore the nizik is the uber poshea. Reish Lakish could pater, not just with the mazik walks, but with the mazik kicks. However, one second, before you break, Yisrael, try to build, okay? Because I know your mind flips to the other side. Try to build. It's very important, because if you're always flipping back and forth, you never hit one option. However, if I'm trying to look at the anatomy and the authorship of actions, and whether causality recreates authorship, and even though the physical energy was expended by the animal, the logical author is the person that caused. So it's harder to say that prone animals are authors of, fill in the line, Yosef, of that prone animals author kicking than prone animals being the author of walking. Right, just think about the logic. When my animal is taking its normal spazier and it's just walking, I say, well, my animal walks with a normal pace, it doesn't kick over this road. You recreated the road. You repaved the road with your animal. So the fact that the impact was not between my animal's hoof and the asphalt or the concrete or the mud in those days, but between my animal's hoof and your animal's body, is you authored this impact. You created this impact. Right? You can create the impact by forcing my animal to do it. Let's say I would come and take your animal already and force him to do nesek. I would obviously be the author. That's called Mame Behemes Chavero, Kamez Chavero. So here I didn't author the energy exertion. I authored the impact. Had you not let your animal lie there on the ground, then the impact would have been between hoof and concrete or mud. The fact that you put your animal, let him lie there irresponsibly and deviantly, means that impact between my animal's hoof, that normal walks, and the ground, and your animal's body, victim's body, was authored by you. But how do you author kicking? Kicking is an irregular action. Kicking is not something. That is not a direct authorship based on causality. So I would say, if the Ptor, getting back to our Lamdasha terms, if the Ptor is the Poshea, is the one who lets his animal lie in Rishas HaRabim, then what do I care whether the end goal was kicking or the end goal was walking? I was a Poshea, and my Pshia reduces, limits, mitigates, undercuts, neutralizes, whatever we'll say, Yisrael David, I'll be Pashtus. Any other action, because I am assigned as the Uber Poshea. I am assigned as the Poshea. Whereas, if it's, now I'm saying abstract logic, if the Ptor is more powerful, it may be more limited. Right? That's always true. Things that have greater impact are more limited in scope. If the Ptor is not just Yossi that you're removing the Pshia, but you're actually making causality, that's a big, big chiddush, I'm going to limit it. I caused walking. I didn't cause kicking. Kicking is a separate, autonomous action that the animal doesn't do on a normal basis. I'm not the cause simply because I let my animal lay prone. So Yosef, and I think you're saying in the end, I thought you were saying in the end, Isaiah, that would be the direct, simple logic. In which case, Reish Lakish would say, okay, I'm going to give you the third option, but I'm not going to pursue it because I want to make this year as concise as possible. Reish Lakish, who expands it, he holds it's a Ptura Pshia. Therefore, it would cover not just walking, Drisa, but kicking, Ravitza, or Be'ita, excuse me. As opposed to Rava, or the Gemara's conclusion, limits it only to Drisa or Drisa-like activities, such as the Balakara, felt that we're being Mafkia the Maisenezek. Since we're being Mafkia the Maisenezek, it's only if there's a Maisenezek that is autonomous. It's just like a mousetrap. Oh, your animal walks, you put the pavement down, but actions that are autonomous and irregular can't be attributed to the person who crossed. We can't just say you're the Maisenezek because you are going. Okay? So in which case, again, the next level would be Reish Lakish would say it's a Pshia. Rava would say it's a Hafkas HaMaisa. And then I would have then expect, well, wait a second. Could Reish Lakish's breath, all cases, also be based on the Maisa Nezek? What does it mean? But my assumption is that for causality to author Maisa Nezek, it's very limited. Could Reish Lakish redefine this whole thing? What do we mean with Kish? I'm leaving this intentionally right now. Maybe in the end of the show, I'll stipulate. This has a lot of tributaries. How exactly do I move Shem Mazik? What is Shem Mazik? Is it the way I described it? Is it physics, causality, and authorship? Is it something else? Now, you could take a different slant on the sugya, but it's fighting uphill to say that no, that Reish Lakish is based on the Maisa, and all Maises are removed, and Rav is based on the Pshia Yisrael Dov, and since the kicking can be averted, there's more Pshia, but it's much, much more complicated to take this approach. It's easier to see Reish Lakish's breath as a Pshia undercutter, and Rava's Safgaras HaMaisa as limited to walking and not to kicking, and then say, well, what would Reish Lakish hold? Maybe his version of how I undo the Maisa Nezek is different than the physics that I've been describing, and would include not just walking, but kicking. But from a purely physics standpoint, it seems like authorship of kicking is harder to redirect than authorship of walking. So, David, you disagree?
I was going to say the other way was the way to say it. I don't know, maybe it's sharply in the other way, but
you want to close the door, Yavi? Or just close the door?
If it's Afkash, according to the definition of Afkash, Shem Mazik, or it's the actual Mazik Mazik. So then, once the animal is out of the road, so then anything that happens after that, you don't consider Mazik. It doesn't matter what it is.
Okay, so that's the bridge you have to sharpen. Right. What do you mean you don't consider it? I've described it through physics, and physics makes the difference between Vita and Drisa. You would have to change the yardstick for why he's not called a Maisenezek. There you have to sharpen it. I'll sharpen it later, but right, I want the shit to be clear. Yes, Yishai.
According to Reish Lakish, it makes more sense to describe it as a dynamic of comparing the levels of Pshia. Couldn't it be possible?
I'll say even sharper because it's din in the gavra, not a din in the maisa. So if it's din in the gavra, it covers all maises, all maisim. Whereas if it's din in the maisa, we'd have to stipulate. Just follow your terminology. And I'm not saying you have to say it that way, but it seems like that. I don't know. The Rishonim don't tell us, but Yishai.
Couldn't it be possible that the mazik would have such a large pshia that would overcome even
right.
That?
Right. So you have to say that bita is something that's so obvious and so poshea that you now get a sign, which would be the other way to train the sugya. But it's much, much harder to take. Then it's backwards in both cases. A, it's backwards in Reish Lakish. It's backwards in Rava. Okay. But there's nothing, I can't prove to you one way or the other because there's no Rishonim to talk about. I didn't send this method. But we both agree, right, even those who hate everything I just said, my haters in this room, we both agree, Sarah, I'm just joking, we both agree that this is a machlokas. We both believe that Rav and Reish Lakish are not having an arbitrary machlokas. Somehow, when they came into the room, they never met each other, but they're in Shemayim now, they're talking about this conversation. What is our access point? Defining the Maisa Nezek, defining the Pshia. It could be they both fix the variable, they both say Pshia, and they're arguing, as you said. Could be they both say Maisa Nezek, and they're arguing, as you said. Could be that that's the point of conflict, how they viewed Kala Mashana. But the other choice, it was just an arbitrary machlokas, that's not a choice. So machlokas is based on the logic of Kala Mashana. Azaria?
So just to follow up on Yishai's question, are we saying that the Pshia side is now not that there's this relative battle of Pshia of who is more Poshaya? We're saying this is not what we're working with. We're working with, like, there's some sort of absolute Pshia? Are we
saying the opposite. He's saying relative, but Pshia's Be'ita is an undercut of Pshia's Rebbe.
But meaning, Rebbe answered that we're not saying that way. So are we changing the model of Pshia?
I ran away from the question. I just said, you know what, I disagree with you. that the Pshias Ravitza is so intense and so severe that it undercuts Pshias Bita.
But we're still in the relative Pshias.
Right. You could change what that Pshias, the Yisrael Davar, was in there before. There's so many crevices to work off the Sugya. I just want to keep on the main road to show you the path that will lead you down the Sugya, so then you could take these side roads. I'm trying to give you the path through the Sugya, okay? And teach you how to pave that path, how to make that path. Yes, dear.
How do you know Shisuhu is a form of either Shein or Ragel? It sounds like, I read this again, I thought it was Nini Karen.
It is. I didn't say Shein or Ragel, it's Karen.
So what's the difference between that and Rusa? Why is one of them?
Rava felt that Be'ita is an autonomous action.
Non-autonomous action?
Right. Yeah. Now, without committing to Svaras.
Right.
I mean, you basically said, I agree with the Vaitaragin because... Mm-hmm. It's more of the physics of the action. Okay, let's move on with two more machlokas. Who can tell me, this is a little harder, which other machlokas amarayim we have? I like machlokas in amarayim. I like hermeneutics, namely, seeing Reb Chaim and the Baruch HaShmuel and going back to Rav and Reish Lakish and fitting it in. We're saying that's part of their conversation. Which other machlokas amarayim did you see? This is a subtle machlokas amarayim, and the trick here is not to get lost in all the neon lights and to read every line of the Gemara carefully. Which machlokas amarayim am I talking about?
Rav
and Shmuel. Aha. I skipped Shmuel. I just read Rav. What's the drama of Rav and Shmuel? Would I apply this Kala Mashada business, not just to deviant lying down animals, not just to deviant doggy riler uppers, and not just the deviant sudden stoppers in Rishus HaRabim, but what's the deviance that Rav and Shmuel are talking about? Placing your clothing in Rishus HaRabim. We all sense that's not the same deviance as lying down in traffic, stopping the flow of traffic, putting your hand in a doggy's mouth and, you know, beating him up. So we just like snowed by because the Gemara... It's not just Rav, it's Rav Yochanan, everyone's on the let's stretch the Kala Mashana business, not just to stopping traffic or riling up dogs, but let's stretch the Kala Mashana also to leaving your Kalim in Rosh Hashanah Rabbin where they're easily accessible for the animal to eat. Let's see the Gemara. Tratro Pasha. Okay, the Gemara says, you test in the face, again, two cases. Shein is Nezek Shalim, Paris V'Yirakos, if it eats clothing, it's Karen, Chatzi Nezek. And the Gemara says, that's only in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, not in Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. So Rav said, that applies to both. If the animal eats peres in Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, that's Shein in Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, it's Pater. The animal eats clothing in Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, that's Karen in Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, it's normally Chayiv, but not as Kol Mishana. And leaving your clothing in Rosh Hashanah Rabbin is Kol Mishana. That's what Rav said. Ahaye Amar Rav Akula. Mai Tama, Kol Mishana, Vach Roshina, Ba Pater. Shmuel Amar, Lo Shana, Peres Virakos. You're right. Shein in Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, Peres Virakos. It's Pasha. We spent 3.5 weeks on that. Avoksis Vakeram Chayavis. Shmuel says one thing. If someone puts his ksus and kelim in Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, the Karen Mazik is still chayiv. Give me three ways to view Shmuel. This is just Gemara logic. The last of which is pertinent to our sugya and our lamdas. What's the easiest way to explain Shita Shmuel that we don't hold kala mashana if someone leaves his ksus for kelim in Rosh Hashanah Rabbin and Karen Mazik happens? What's the easiest way to explain Shmuel, Aaron?
It's
the second easiest way. What's the easiest way? Who says Shmuel holds to this principle? Now, this is a chiddush today, guys, right? This is a big chiddush. And you sense that the Gemara senses it's a chiddush by trying to create, this is a nice meta Gemara, all you, not really tempted to criticism, but looking at the broader sense, when the Gemara tries so hard to prove, oh, you hold like Reish Lakish, oh, your chiddush is like Reish Lakish, oh, we have improved to Reish Lakish. Sounds like Reish Lakish is a big chiddush that needs proof. Tala, what's happening behind the scenes? Reish Lakish is something so innovative, and then the Gemara says, let's try to prove from the mission. Let's try. It's a big chiddush. Don't feel that everyone in Jaws held the chiddush. Shmuel says no. Now it's hard to say that because you'd expect Shmuel's voice to appear in some of the other Kol HaMishana cases. The doggy, Shmuel would say, no, I don't hold. Hello, Yechayef, I riled up your dog, but too bad, there's no Kol HaMishana. Okay, so I'm not so sure that's a Shmuel held. The second easiest way for Shmuel to get out of the sugya is to pull a Rabbeinu Tam on this sugya. Remember the Rabbeinu Tam said, why is it not called Mishana when Ari Spivak's barrels are broken by Mir Shazarabim? Because putting barrels is not considered Shinoi. You know what else isn't considered Shinoi? Putting clothing. Mechalik Rav and Shmuel is technically whether putting clothing is a Shinoi. I don't like it because I don't like technical Mechalik. There's no way to prove that it isn't that. No one talks about Shmuel. But now the Lamdasha third option, or in, is that Shmuel agrees that Kala Mishana exists, Ptur. He feels and he agrees that Ksus V'Kelem is a Shinoi. He's, now what's the third option? He is? The third option? What's the Lamdasha option? He's Mechalek between... Don't give me the Svar, just give me the Chilek. Between... No... Maybe he's still carrying. He's mechalik between the shinoi of traffic stopping and doggy riling as opposed to the shinoi of leaving your things out and just wrap them accessible. Right? We all know intuitively that if I woke you up at 2 o'clock one Purim night and I said, which is the bigger shinoi, stopping traffic and riling dogs or leaving your Ksus V'Kelem accessible? You would say, stopping traffic and riling dogs. Not leaving your account accessible. The same way Rava rams down Reish Lakish, Shmuel rams down, he says, rams down Rav. Rav, you want to start applying Kol Mishana to traffic stoppages as well as doggy riling? I'm not so sure. And it's just depositing? I'm not so sure. Okay, that's obviously the Svar of Shmuel. Question is, which logic is Shmuel taking? That's the lumbus. It's clear that Shmuel is saying, stop, I got the concept, but I don't agree with the application. You want to potter the guy because he ran into a chavis stopper? That's great. You want to potter the guy because he riled up the dog? That's great. You want to potter the guy because he stepped on a prone animal? That's great. But don't start telling me that leaving your clothing in the shosarabim is a shinoi enough to exonerate. What's the difference between traffic stoppages and aggression riling and making your payros, in this case, clothing accessible to dogs who or animals who like clothing or pottery? What's the answer? Come on. Which of these two models did Rob say? Which of these two models? Let's start with Shmuel, because Shmuel is a chilek. Anytime you have a chilek, Shmuel says, since I hold that Kol HaMishana is this, it will apply to traffic stoppers. Let's just use traffic stoppers. It will apply to traffic stoppers. And not to making your kelim easily available. Come on. Which of these did Shmuel say that would make him draw the line between Revutza, I'll make it even easier in one case, and Ksus V'Kelem Yehuda? Of course. If we follow causality in physics, by my stopping traffic, changing the pace, getting new ways to walk and new pavements, I'm the author of the action. I am basically choreographing. There was this great commercial, like 15, 20 years ago. It was one of the Super Bowls. I don't watch Super Bowl forever, but I always like watch the commercials afterwards. So it was really good. This is when they were still trying to get people to move to credit cards. This is before phones and credit card and PayPal. People wanted to have credit cards. So they had, basically, they had a cafeteria where people were like walking around in choreography. Yeah, there was music playing, and they were taking their food, and everyone was walking, the face was happening. And then at the end of the line, everyone's swiping their card and moving on, and swiping their card and moving on. And it was like a dance, and everyone was dancing around the cafeteria. And then at some point, someone decided to pay with money. And it took a couple extra seconds, and like everyone like banged into each other, and the music went, and the music gets all minor and stuff. So it's basically, get a credit card. Just keep things moving. Keep the line moving. You know, swipe, swipe, swipe. It's an incredibly brilliant commercial. So you think of traffic, right? As everyone who knows a little bit of physics knows, in theory, you can eliminate traffic. Right? I mean, at a certain point, you can. If like, you have enough cars to fill every square inch of the road, then there'll be traffic. But until you reach that max point, if every car's travel, part of what AI driving, every car's travel could be properly calibrated, then in theory you can eliminate or severely reduce traffic. Because if everyone's traveling based on eliminating traffic and the speeds are adjusted, then there's no problem. Again, people have to get off, people have to stop. But in theory, in a perfect world, you could just have everything right in a computer model. Everyone, how fast do you have to travel based on how many cars are there and how much space is there in order that basically you should be moving at a normal pace. So
When I'm a traffic stopper, I'm recreating the pace. I'm recreating the movement. So when I stop, all of a sudden, I've created a whole new cadence and a whole new rhythm that leads to the damage, right? Damage is all rhythm, right? If I throw this at Gabriel right now, chas v'shalom, I'll hit him. In 10 minutes, if I throw it and no one's there, I won't hit him. It's all timing and rhythm. And right now, you're moving your head. If I time it properly, I'm not going to hit because you moved your head. I'll throw it above you. So I've changed the timing. I've changed the physics. I've changed the momentum. I've changed all the parameters. I am now, from a physics standpoint, I am now choreographing these damage. The animal won't be there. Won't be choreographing the damage. As opposed to, I just made my food available. How am I causing the damage? Your animal has such an appetite for pottery and clothing. What does that even mean? I have a really, really hard time with Rav. Yisrael David and Yishai, my haters, if you want to try to make Reish Lakish, that's fine. You want to try to radicalize Reish Lakish, not through Pshia, but through Maisa, I can take that. But you want to say that Rav's radicalizing is based on Maisa. If the Bircha Shmuel were in this room right now, if Reb Chaim were in this room right now, I would say, how do you explain Rav? How do you have Hafkas on Maisa? I have an answer to that. I don't even know what their answer would be. I'd have to change it from physics to some other system to determine authorship. But in my simple world, where authorship of Maisa is based on physics, I don't get Rav. I'm happy I don't get Rav. That's what I think Shmuel was saying. Rav either was a Pshia man, and once you leave your items out there, you're the super Poshea, because you made them accessible. Or Rav has to change how we reattribute the Maisa, which I'll get to in a moment. I want to save it for the end because there's one more thing. This is like ABCs of Lumbus. It's like, now that you've been through half a year of Lumbus, you just see how this is such a classic sugya. You take an idea, you work with it. You try to fit it in. Chav Zayin is not a problem. There are many ways to solve Chav Zayin. You get the Lamed Beis, do you solve it, or do you create a new paradigm? You say, have the new paradigm, oh, that could be. Now there are two models. Then go back and see all these machloks and say, you know, it's not just arbitrary, but they're real logical issues that Reish Lakish and Rava were talking about, or that Rav and Shmuel were talking about. Okay. Yes, Adir, and then finally we'll solve the big question in the sugya, and that may force us at least to flirt with a new way to explain the play. Yes, we'll
build Shmuel. Based on this distinction, where would she's the boy of the Kala fit in? Is that more of a traffic stopper?
It's a traffic stopper because I created aggression. I created aggression, and I channeled the aggression. Not only created aggression, I targeted my hand. Because it's not like I'm Shisa Sakelov, you know, with tongues. You know, for 40 miles away, and I start, hey, hello, Skelev, you're a dog. I hit the dogs. I'm not only creating aggression, I'm also putting my hand in Field's way. So essentially, aggression, hand, I put the things together. Like the old, Marx Brothers, I think, Marx Brothers movie. It was filmed. We used to watch old movies. Our big excitement, Matzei Shabbos, was we used to sneak into Kfar Etzion, and they would show movies in the lunchroom. And we'd sit with the kibbutzim and watch movies. That's all we had, guys. Anything else. And they'd be showing 1950s black and white westerns at half the time, or Marx movies. It's like a famous movie where one of the Marx brothers goes, obviously, soup, rice, and he's only up soup, rice, surprise! And it was like a joke. He tried to, you know, convey the joke through charades. And in Hebrew, it translates, marak, ores, marak, ores, marak, ores, haftaah. No one got the joke. Silence in the room. So the person had to, again, don't translate. Understand. They should have said, haftah. Don't translate. Just to show you, hear, O Israel. Okay. The last question. I'm saying, just end because I want you to have a chance for the next. The last question in our sugya, which isn't a duality, it's more of a question. Once I introduce this, you are the one and your deviance cause everything to go south and therefore other people are putter, then what's Rabbeinu Ephraim's question in the Shittim Bukhub Ezzes? Anyone get to see it? Okay, so we'll read it together. I didn't bring a sheet up. It's fine. Whoever has a sheet, I'll borrow one. Just so you should be up in your knowledge, who was Rabbeinu Ephraim? Anyone know? Okay. There was an 11th century contemporary of the Talmud of the Rif called Rabbeinu Ephraim from North Africa. Rabbeinu Ephraim Ahmad Bachba, some, I don't know the last name, but an Arabic name. And he is a revered member of the North African Talmudic scholar,
team, and he's quoted by the Balamor, he's quoted by Rishonim, and this is probably not that, because it sounds like he's, and we don't really have Riff and Balamor, we don't have their conversation on the sugya. And if it would be quoted, this sounds like a 12th century French Rishon from French German Rishon from Regensburg, Ben Ephraim from Regensburg. So just, you'll see Ben Ephraim often when you get this Masechtas and a lot of Balamor and Rivet and Riffs. This is not. This sounds like it's Mukhabats. It's a different place. It's a different part of the system. So on Daf Chaf, he has the following question. He says, once we have, well, we don't have them too often in Shas. There's what is there? There's a parish ala Torah to Rabbein Arfayim that some people attribute to this Rabbein Arfayim Regensburg. So we don't have, again, it's not like I say if everyone reads Rabbein Arfayim ala Torah, but so this is a nice encounter with someone that we remember. Is the other encounter we had with someone that we've never ever seen? Do you remember on Daf Hint Yafir Chasim Advez? Famous encounter, Rabbein Nissan al Hakadosh. Remember the Tzoras Sugya? Someone who died in one of the pogroms. Typically, whenever you see sudden such hakadosh, that's a term they give to people who died in crusades or other types of pogroms. So this is Rabbeinu Ephraim. We don't really have too much exposure to him. My itzdrach lemute ubiru b'steacha liftar b'shus harabim. Now that I have this kolam ishana acquittal, who needs a p'tur of shein v'regal l'shus harabim, according to Rav? If putting things in r'shus harabim is a shinoi that can trigger the p'tur of kolam ishana v'lachav shinoba, then why do I need a gzeres hakasev of bir bistei acher to patter me in rishus harabim? So come on, what's the easy lumbus answer to Rabbeinu Ephraim's question? Not today's lumbus. What's the easy lumbus? Anyone catch him and say, aha, that's exactly the point. Who's going to say, that's exactly, I'll give you a hint. What did Rabbeinu Tam from Friday say? Zev.
That's the whole idea of the Torah.
Exactly. The Torah is teaching us this Kol HaMashana business. The whole Torah of Shein V'Regel and Shus Rabim Zev is? How do we know there's such a concept called Pshias and Nizik? Bir B'Stei Acher. Once I have Bir B'Stei Acher, and I apply it to Shein, I apply it to Karen also. Which would Rab said. That's what the Mishnah is telling me. It's great. End of Shir. Don't say anything else. Where do we get this whole business of Pshias and Nizik, Patrin Mazik, when you leave the Paris and it's just a rap in Rabbeinu Tam's theory, Lav Kol Kaminich. It's a nice idea, but you need Hashem to tell you. Hashem tells you. Hashem's not just giving you some riddle, he's giving you logic. The logic teaches us that people will leave Paris and Shazam, Patrin, Shane, and certain things are left in Shazam or traffic stoppers. This whole Sugya today was brought to you by Ubir B'Steacha. Everything I had today, because that's what Ubir B'Steacha is, according to option number 4 in our blackboard the other day. The black part of the board, yeah, the blue board of the board. What if you don't hold that way? What if you hold that Bir B'Steacher is like the Riff, or it's like Xeris HaKasev, or it's lack of invasion? So here you have too many principles at play. You have a Bir B'Steacher principle, and you have a Kol HaMashana. Who needs a Bir B'Steacher if you have a Kol HaMashana? So evidently, you have to find a way, can anyone tell me the logic, to disassociate Kol HaMashana from... Say better, categorically. Which mazikim can I not say kol mishana in? Because I have to say, I have to find a way. That's without the lumbus, I'm giving you the structure. Somehow, I have to structure a system in which kol mishana only applies to
Karen.
And maybe Adam. But let's put Adam on the side. We'll bring it in the side. Maybe Adam. But Karen definitely. Because she's the boss of Caleb is Karen, eating sus for Caleb is Karen. Mm-hmm. Just tell me your instincts. Come on, this should be easy. This is what he says, by the way. Let's just read the end of Rabbi Shaitan Kopatas. He says, he doesn't use the words as much as we'd like, but Yesh Lomar, the Lohavi Matsi the Mutein Mehav, we couldn't exonerate Shane Veregel because of Kol HaMashana. Right? If you look at the language, Avikon, the Gemara doesn't use Avikon like language. It doesn't say Kol HaPashaya Bachor B'Pashet B'Pate. It's Kol HaMishano Bachor B'Shina. Shina is a nickname for Karen. Something about this case wipes away Karen. It's a Karen exonerator, not a broader exonerator. It only applies to Karen. It would not apply to Shane Veregel, Henry. And therefore, we need some other
reason to pater shein v'ragel and shes rabim. Go back to the last 3 weeks of shir. Come on, just start me out here. Start me out. Which model would say, you know what, that's unique to Karen. Doesn't really apply to Shein Beregel. And since we don't have the Kol HaMishnah exemption for Shein Beregel, we have to think of something else. And Hashem did think of something else, and we spent 3 weeks trying to find that something else. Which model? Just give me a general, you know, your flight. Tell me, go this way, that way. What do you think, Avi?
Maisa Nezek and
the Nizam? Yeah, Maisa Nezek, right. If it's Pshia, we know these have to be. I'm not saying it's impossible. You could distinguish, but if anything, follow the logic, is the Chiyav of Karen based on a higher level of Pshia or a lower level of Pshia? Am I more of a Pshia by Karen or less of a Pshia by Karen?
Less.
What's the Gemara's word for saying I'm less of a Pshia by Karen? Stam Shvarim, Chas Kashimur, and Karen is a Knas, and I'm not really a Pshia. So follow the logic. If she is less central to Karen, okay, is Karen more of a candidate for Model A or less of a candidate for Model A? Love, Jack. More or less? Karen? Less. If we feel that she is more central, follow the law, it's really important. If this is Lumbus. If she is more important to Shane Beregel and less important to Karen, which is easier to acquit based on another poshea? Shane Varego, where the pshia is more central. Karen the Mechayev isn't pshia because it's less pshia. So it's counterintuitive. That's an uphill battle, Yisrael Nevi. To say, Kol Mishana only paters Karen, not Shane Varego. Wait a second. Shane Varego is more addicted to pshia than Karen is. If Shane Varego doesn't get its pshia hit, it's going to go cold turkey. It's going to go crazy. So you pull a little pshia from Shane Varego, you're really killing Shane Varego. Karen, not so sure. So you're working backwards. You're saying, well, it only applies to Karen, not to Shane Varego. No, it should apply to Shane Varego, because Shane Varego can only get started with pshia, and if there's another pshia, then you can even start talking about Shane Varego. If anything, if you told me pshia, I would invert it. I would say it only applies to Shane Varego, which is solely dependent upon pshia. But Karen, it's a kanaz, it's not really pshia. Who cares about another pshia? Now you can redefine pshia. I'm not saying it's impossible, but you see how you're working backwards? It's so important to know like what's the straight approach and what's the back. I'm not saying backwards approaches don't work, but to ordinate your logic, you have to know like how you're, what makes more sense. I always say, what's the intuitive pshia? You have to put your mind into the sugya to know how to have a navigation. If you don't know where you are, you can't navigate. And if the GPS can't pick up your signal, you can't navigate to the next place. So if you don't have a baseline that you're working on, you don't know, oh, this sounds a little off. It's so, people don't get that. When you're trying to do alumnus, they don't put their own intuition into it, and then it just becomes a universe of chaos. This is what I would say. Shane is more pshia dependent. Therefore, it's easier to pull the rug out and to apply. Here I have the Beit HaFrayim telling me the exact opposite, that you can pull the rug out of Shane Varegel, but you can pull the rug out of Karen. So what's that rug? The rug, Avi says properly, is because by Karen, as we said, because it's Kavanah Selahazik, and it's a Shem Mazik, and it's Deviant. And now, Avi, 1 second, maybe I'm changing the codes. What does it mean to change the Shem Mazik? It's not that until now we were talking about, Gavi, thinking about the physics. When are the differences in physics? So there's differences in physics between Revutza's effect on Drisa as opposed to Revutza's effect on Beita. That's a physics difference. Or a physics difference between prone animals causing responses or riled up animals causing responses as opposed to just food available and material available. Now it's not physics, it's categories. Follow? It's not that the physics between Karen is different than the physics between Shane and Regal. It's the category of Karen is different than the category of Shane and Regal. And the category of Karen makes it vulnerable to Kol HaMishnah impact. The category of Shane makes it less impactful, which in my mind starts to change the terminology, but still got to be within this second model. It's not really that the physics change the Maisa Nezek, it's that Karen's Maisa Nezek, what makes Karen such a odious Maisa Nezek, that it's deviant, that it's different, that it's not regular, that Nezek at some point in Bava Kamma is not just defined by the level of breakage, right? We've been talking about how much it breaks and the level of invasion. but it's based on whether this is a deviant action. Go all the way back to the Nesivos. Normal actions are not mice and ethics. They're not crimes. It's not a crime for an animal to eat or walk. It's so much not a crime that we can totally eliminate the mice and pin chain and regal on the owner, or pin chain on the hana, as we've done. But deviant slash aggressive, going back to our first, earliest question, what defines Karen? Kavanas al-Hazik and Mishuna. Deviance, and I alluded to this early in the year, deviance is not just a nezek reducer, but a nezek escalator. Right? Not just, oh, it's deviant, and therefore I'm less of a poshea, and therefore I should be pater. Deviance can actually make it Karen. Remember, what are the words? I almost said it. One of the words that sounds like Karen is an escalation, not a reduction. Oh, it's only Karen, you know, pater. What sounds like Karen is worse? Two words that change the fate of Karen forever? Karen Adifa, Hamad days. Karen is worse. Tosus couldn't understand that, so he said, oh, that's Mandia Mistamishvar, Mabacheska Shimakani, and Karen is Mamona. Because if Karen is Knas, how could Karen be worse? Can we still say that Karen is a Knas, but inherently it's worse? You're not Chayyid the first couple of times, but it's a heinous act. What makes it heinous? Is it the aggression? Or is it the deviance? Just put your hand down for a second and let that settle into your mind. Because I'm saying something very new. Does deviance in this... Because we have a new sugya. And when we see something new, we try to update our system. Is deviance per se criminality? In the world of Bava Kamma, Adam, which is carefully calibrated to allow, on the one hand, ownership, and on the other hand, allow for liability. Because those are two conflicting values. So is deviance itself? We have to create a world in which expected things can go by. And when you deviate, Mr. Karen Man, you're going to pay for it. And that's going to be your chiyuv. Shane Greg will be something else. Ah, the chiyuv is deviance? What if I'm not the deviant one? What if you're more deviant than me? I'm not a mazik. You see, I've changed, obviously, the terms from Shia to deviance. Deviance is a mycenezic definer. And when your deviance is worse than my deviance, then you've deviated from this Baba Kama dance, not me, and I'm not the mazik. And that's what makes Karen vulnerable to call Nishana. So now we're starting the sukkah. Now we're digging deeper into this is a harder question. Okay, if anyone wants an easy out, an easy parking space, you can get out quickly from the concert. So an easy out that they don't find kasha is in Echinami. Shein Beregel and Rosh Hashanah doesn't need a Ptur of Zdei Acher. It's based on Kol Mishana. But we all have a lot of other cases of Shein Beregel, Patur and Rosh Hashanah in which there's no Pshias and Nizik. There's a pseudo. And anyone give me one case of a place which isn't Rosh Hashanah? And we need Alex here. Because he'll enjoy. Wasn't Pshias and Nizik, but you're still Pater. What do we call that? Case of Shein Beregel is Pater, but it's not. It's not clearly Pshias and Nizik. What's that case? Chatzar Ashutfin. Namely, there are multiple reasons to Pater Shein Beregel. Last 3 weeks, we said there are multiple ways to describe Pesteacher. Now we're saying, okay, Steacher is X, but independent of X, there's this Turok called Mishana, which doesn't need a Pasuk. Same Rosh Hashanah, Mamish, we don't need Steacher, that's called Mishana. Says certain Achrodim, I forget who says this. Some people say, I forget whom. When it's these unique cases of Chatzar, Ptur Shein, like Chatzar Ashutvim, which we've said, Pater, there you need a Xer Sakasif, however the Xer Sakasif makes you Pater. That's the easy way to just wipe away Rebbein Ephraim, wipe it away. But if you don't wipe Rebbein Ephraim, then we're touching on the heart and soul of the entire system of Bava Kamma. This is a nuclear question. So Zev's answer is, well, that's what Steacher means. It teaches us this sugya. The other way is to create separation between Karen and Shein Beregel. Kol HaMishana, look at my hands, it's like a glove to Karen. Kryptonite to Karen. It's Karen kryptonite. Something about Karen's operation gets ruined by Kol HaMishana. And it doesn't ruin Shein Beregel. That's the core of Karen. If you think we're learning a little side sigit today, this is Karen. One day, Avi, will be a big Rosh Hashiva, I don't know, on the Baba Yeshiva somewhere, and say, let's learn Karen. And you'll give your Makaros, and all the Makaros will look the same. And the Svarim, you'll talk about Dap Beis, and Dap Talet, and Piyas and Ra, and Chereshot, and you'll talk about Niske Chayos, and Machlodes Rambam, and Tosvos, and Who knows? You know, maybe mention a little tzaros. That'll be a curveball. What can we learn from caring about tzaros? Because the shina there isn't based on the aggression, but based on the physics of the kocho. And you can say, wow, this Rebbe Cohen, he's got some interesting makaras. I wonder who his Rebbe was. And then you'll throw out a sugya on the Chav Kol Mishana and say, where's he leading with this? Where's he leading with this? This isn't about Karen. This is about... And you'll take him through the whole sugya. Maybe you'll hightail and say, guys, if it only applies to Karen, then this is really Karen, right? If we shrink it to Karen, this is Karen. It's not Kol Mishana. It's a Karen undoer, nothing else. Or maybe it's a Karen plus an Adam undoer. That's another model to this answer. What makes Karen and Adam similar? That is undone by Kol Mishana. Remember, every time you throw a new rock into the pond of the system of Gemara, ripples, ripples, ripples. Everything you say new, ripples. If you're able to see all the ripples at once, you know, call it Tarku. Now they ripple into each other. But every time you see it, what does this tell me about whatever else lies beyond the immediate conversation we're having? Yes, Avi?
Would it apply to Karen Wood?
Yes. Of course, because whatever we say about Karen, unless you totally change mood into a Shane Beregel parallel. Okay, guys, we are now starting a Mirza.